Brilliant. Thank you again to Simon and Ellen for leading us in worship like that. Over the last few weeks, we've been working through the book of James on our Sunday services, and we're going to continue in that series just now. And so Zoe is going to read the next section of the book of James for us.
So today's reading is from James 4, verse 13 to James 5 to 6. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for themselves. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotten, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you have failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of their harvests have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of the slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you.
Can I tell you how 2020 was supposed to be? I can just about remember back to 1 BC, or that's one before coronavirus. Some of you may still refer to it as 2019. And towards the end of 2019, I had big plans for 2020. 2020 was going to be the year of the building project. We'd started talking about it in leadership team meetings and in a church meeting, and I was really excited about the whole prospect of it because I was pretty sure that God was leading us as a church towards plans to extend the building and to create space for more ministry and new ministries and all kinds of exciting stuff. It was going to be the year we extended our cafe because, my word, God's doing some cool things in the cafe. It was going to be the year that we pushed the boat out in our Encounter Youth Service and tried some new things there. And we had some personal plans too for this year. We're due a sabbatical quite soon, and we were going to spend time this year making plans and booking some study-based travel and quite possibly a nice holiday for next year. And there was a heavy rock festival in June that I was really, really looking forward to. And if you'd asked me 12 months ago, I'd have told you all of that and probably a load more things as well. And then 2020 arrived and coronavirus exploded and the whole world went mad and all bets were off. COVID-19 has ridden a coach and horses through everything we had planned for 2020. And I'm prepared to go out on a limb and say that the same is true for you. Because I don't know anyone who's looking back at the last 12 months and saying, yep, just like I expected. So actually, James's words are a bit near the knuckle, aren't they? Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That short paragraph is single-handedly responsible for the existence of the phrase God willing in the English language. I'm sure you've heard it many times. You've probably said it as well. I'm going to finish my studies and get a job. God willing. I hope to retire to a cottage in the countryside. God willing. Next summer, I am going to go to Download Festival and enjoy 3 days of heavy metal music. God willing. Or sometimes people write the initials DV if they're writing, which stand for Deo Volente, which is Latin for God willing, because God likes it when we speak to him in his native Latin or something like that. And in essence, it's a great thing to say, because it suggests that you recognise that your plans are subject to God's plans. The danger is the same danger that faces us any time that we turn something that we do for God into a ritual. The danger is that we make that part of our relationship with God a habit, not a heart change. Now, there's nothing at all wrong with godly habits, but they need to go deeper than just what we say. In fact, that's the title of this whole teaching series, because James has a lot to say about that subject. We've called the series More Than Words. And saying God willing means very little unless our heart attitude is one that says, not my will, but your will be done. And in fact, in a rather wonderful irony, I looked up the phrase God willing in the Cambridge Dictionary online, and their definition says this: it's a phrase that's used to say you hope everything happens the way you want. That's their definition. No, that's literally the exact opposite of what God willing should mean. It should mean, this is what I think I want, but all of my plans and desires are subject to God's will and timing, because he knows infinitely better, and his plans are perfect. God willing, not my will, but his will be done. And of course, God wasn't caught out by the year 2020. God knew it was coming. In fact, God has had plans for this year which take the whole horrible COVID situation and use it for good. Now, please listen carefully to what I said there. I didn't say God caused COVID, and I didn't say God wanted COVID. I said God can take an evil situation like COVID and use even that to teach us, to shape us, to bring something good out of something bad. And there are some Facebook theologians who need to learn the difference between those three statements. But God's nature is to redeem, which means that in every bad situation, he is working to bring good into that situation and to bring good out from that situation. I believe that God has chosen this year, and who knows, maybe next year too, to teach us some really important lessons as a church family. And I shared a little of this at the AGM on Tuesday. I believe that he's using this situation to school us, to take us back to some basics. He's teaching us about what it means for us to be family, to be community, to be church. With all the activities stripped away and with our comfortable in-person services and worship not available, all we've got is God and each other and a community around us that we're called to love. And as the storm of COVID relentlessly drives people towards the rocks of loneliness and despair, I believe that God is teaching us to be holders of hope and creators of community. But the building's closed and the groups and activities are closed, well, mostly. And so The TBC family isn't a gathered thing in the same way. So for now, TBC is 150 beacons of hope spread around East Southampton and beyond. At the moment, TBC is 150 signposts to Jesus, each of us letting those around us know where our hope comes from. And right now, TBC is 150 individual sources of love and encouragement and friendship to one another and to those around us. And I really believe that that is what God is doing. He's allowed the scaffolding to be taken away. He's let us be stripped down to the bones of what it means to be church family. We no longer have the luxury of looking to others to do those things in our name. And I don't think he's quite finished teaching us yet. And so I want to encourage you, in the midst of all the disruption of this year, in the midst of all our natural emotional response to the disruption of this year, let's not miss out on the lessons that God wants us to learn through this whole experience. I wonder what plans you had for 2020. I wonder what got cancelled, what got missed, what got postponed. What dreams for this year ended up looking very different from when you first dreamed them? It's been disconcerting. And in some cases, it's been absolutely heartbreaking. And I'm not trying to play down how hard this year has been and continues to be one little bit. But in it all, have you taken a moment to look up from your plans which haven't come to pass and to ask God, what are your plans that you are bringing to pass? Because you can't say God willing unless you are willing to handle the fact that God may not be willing. It's not a token phrase to speak or to write like a Christianized version of touch wood. It's a submission. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now, here's what the passage doesn't say. James isn't trying to say that we shouldn't make plans. I've met Christians who seem to be allergic to words like strategy or target. They see them as unspiritual or worldly or too businesslike. But read the book of Nehemiah and see the detail and strategic thinking of his planning. Or read Jesus' comments about building towers and planning battle strategies in Luke 14. And I know that he was making a point about the cost of being a disciple, but his example was all about the importance of good planning. There is nothing unspiritual about having hopes and dreams and plans and strategies. What James is trying to say is, don't be so arrogant as to make your plans self-sufficiently. Your plans are always subordinate to God's plans, and that's a heart attitude that we have to cultivate. Your plans are your best understanding of what God's plans seem to be. And if he sheds a bit more light or gives a bit more direction, or if he slams a great big door shut in your face, your plans get updated to your new best understanding of what God's plans now seem to be. And the early church had exactly the same experience. In Acts chapter 16, we read this: Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. This is the Apostle Paul. And quite clearly, his plan was to go and preach the gospel in Asia Minor. And that's what he set out to do. And then at some point along the road, we don't know the detail, the Holy Spirit prevented them from going into the province of Asia to preach the gospel. And I'd really love to know what that looked like. Did God knock him off his horse again? Because he's got form for that. Or were they walking along the main road to Asia and they just suddenly couldn't move anymore? It was as though an invisible wall was across the road, with other travellers walking past them saying, what's up with those guys? Or maybe the Holy Spirit simply spoke to one or more of them prophetically or through a dream and just said, not that way. We don't know how it happened. But quite clearly, Paul said to his crew, okay, God doesn't want us in Asia. I think he's leading us to Bithynia. Let's go there. But when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to. And now, this is starting to get a little bit embarrassing. I mean, if I'd been Paul, I would have probably been getting just a little bit irritable with God by now. I'm just trying to do the right thing here, God, and you keep slamming doors in my face. Come on, what's going on? Now, I expect that Paul was probably a bit more gracious than I would have been. And then, of course, God gave him that vision of a man from Macedonia saying, hey, come over here. And a door opened. I want you to notice two things from those verses I just read, because I think these are really important. The first one is this. God doesn't appear to have explained himself. Now, I realise that I'm arguing here from what the Bible doesn't say rather than what it does say, so please bear with me. But the Bible authors were actually pretty good at including the reasons when God told them the reasons for something. The word because is used a lot in the New Testament, but not here. And my guess is that they had no idea why God prevented them from going to those two places. He just did. And we 21st century rights-focused people have a real struggle with this, because we always feel like we have a right to know why. If God does something we don't like, we want to know the reasons for it, and he'd better have some good ones. And you do sometimes hear Christians concocting the most exquisite stories in their heads to explain why God has chosen to do something that they would not have chosen for him to do. And this is hard, but we need to hear it. God has the right to change your plans without notice or explanation, because he is God and you are not. Get over it. And sometimes he may let you see the reasons why, and other times he may not. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The second thing I'd like us to notice is that God didn't close those doors because he was opposed to those things ever happening. God not only has plans, but he has times for his plans. Lots and lots of churches were planted in Asia Minor and by Paul. Around 4 years later, or two chapters of Acts later, depending how you look at it, Paul went on another preaching trip. And this time he did visit Asia Minor. And he went to cities including Ephesus and Colossae, where he founded the churches that he later wrote letters to. And of course, those letters are in the Bible as our books of Ephesians and Colossians. He just needed to wait for the right time. And by the same token, I still believe that many of the plans we had for 2020 as a church, and quite possibly as individuals too, were good, godly plans. I'm still fairly sure that there will be a building project, but the time isn't now. And if we spend all of this season on what we expected to be, we might just miss out on what God has intended to be. Why, James says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And no, we don't. But we do know the one who does. Let's pray together. I wonder what plans you had for 2020. I wonder what got cancelled, what got missed, what got postponed, what dreams for this year ended up looking very different from when you first dreamed them. Let's just take a few moments and hold those things out before the Lord. And Holy Spirit, we want to say that this has been a painful year. And we acknowledge before you our frustrations, our fears, our dashed hopes, our sense of loss over cancelled plans and deeper disappointments too. And Lord, we want to invite you into those places. Would you meet with us in our disappointment and our frustration? And as you bring your healing, we ask that you would give us the humility and the strength to look up from our plans which haven't come to pass and to open ourselves to your plans which are coming to pass. And Lord, not just this year, but every year and every day of every year, we choose to be people who say, not my will, but your will be done. Forgive us when we arrogantly make plans without involving you or without consulting you or without submitting to you. Lord, would you lead us to a deeper walk with you based on our continual heart attitude of not my will, but your will be done. Amen.